Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
Look for mainly sunny skies across the area for this afternoon, with high temperatures reaching the middle 70s. Then for tonight, mostly clear skies will drop to a low of 40 degrees. Still a good deal of sunshine for the day on Saturday, reaching the middle part of the 60s. Then looking ahead to your Sunday, cloudy with rain likely, highs reaching the lower 50s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
And right now it's warming up beautifully across central Wisconsin. Mostly sunny and 65 in Wausau, 68 already in Marshfield, 66 in Stevens Point, and 68 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to the show on AM 1320 and WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management. Today with Pete Bry, and we are talking about the status of the world's equity markets, and Pete's back from the Final Four, so good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Good morning. Good to be back.
Yeah.
It was an emotional roller coaster, and physically and mentally kind of drained you, but you get back into the real world, and it doesn't take long to spring back.
Okay, well, it was a fun ride the Badgers gave everybody in this state, but we're going to talk about something that's been can be a fun ride or a scary ride for investors, and right now it's the status of the equity markets around the world. Interesting situation. Just read an article in yesterday's USA Today talking about world markets and the what's going on in Europe and the like, and what it means for investors. So where did you want to begin today?
Well, I think we should do a little background work here and explain what's going on and why it's going on, and also the activity. So, you know, the most famous word in the, from the Federal Reserve for many years was quantitative easing.
Right.
And that was the process whereby the central Federal Reserve, central banks of the essentially went out and bought up assets, and then for the most part in the United States it was treasury bonds and mortgages and things like that. And so by doing that, the idea was to keep rates down because you had buyers of quantity, all right, and in fact drive rates down, not only keep them down but drive them down, and force people who were looking to put their money somewhere into the stock market. And so as you can look backwards now, and you see in March of 2009, the Dow was at 6,500, give or take, and today it's 18,000. that process had been, has worked for in the United States. Now, if the person didn't have his assets in risk assets, i.e. stocks,
right,
mutual funds, ETFs, all those things that make up equity, obviously they didn't participate. In fact, they've got had a situation where it was detrimental to them because interest rates went down, nobody was making money in the money market, nobody's making money in CDs, nobody's making money in treasuries. So what's going on is that they've taken that formula, and in the last 12 to 18 months, first we saw Japan, when they got new government leadership, decide they were not only going to buy bonds, but they were also going to buy certain other assets, including real estate, including stocks, in an attempt to generate the same effect there. Last September, the ECB in Europe, the countries that use the euro for their currency, also started an aggressive program that at least initially they said they're going to be buying until September of 2016. And in both those particular markets, if you had bought when those initial announcements came up, they're up substantially. Every market in Europe right now is at either a multi-year high or an all-time high. In Japan, just to give some perspective on Japan, in 1989, if we're all old enough, we can remember they're buying Pebble Beach and they're buying the Rockefeller Center.
Yes, right.
Their stock market was at 9,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of broke out in the last month to almost up to 18,000. So that's been a long dormant spot in that. But so we're seeing, in particularly in these two countries, that the moves by the central banks in order to stimulate the economies, people are being forced into risk assets. And the correlation there, quite honestly, is that if you see your 401k going up, if you're reading about home prices going up, if your stocks are going up, you feel wealthier. And if you feel wealthier, you're to spend money. And if you spend money, it hurts. It helps the economy. And so, you know, that's the whole process. And so the assets. So the assets at this point. And throw in China, who has since the beginning of the year decreased their interest rates. Essentially, those markets are, and they allowed people to buy Chinese stocks in the Hong Kong market. That market's up almost 20% or above 20% prior to today.
Well, you mentioned Japan. That was an interesting situation there, too, because they actually had deflation. And they had the problem with deflation. Values were going down. They call it, like, the lost decade or more.
Yeah, well, if you think about 1989 and it's 2015, yeah. It was at least a decade.
Yeah.
You know, it's really been about 20 years, 20-plus years. Yeah, at one point, the best interest rate in Japan was to go to the post office and buy some of their bearing instruments. But what we've seen now, which is, you know, again, very confusing to me, but of all the world's debt, this has gotten to a point of somewhat of an extreme, but of all the world's debt, I think the number is like 40% of the government debt of the world now is in a position where you, if you wanted to buy that debt, have the privilege of paying them to take on their debt. And so I'm truly amazed who would do that other than traders who feel that this trend continues, that, you know, the price of the guy putting their money with the lender or the issuer would go higher. But, you know, it just has been a good for asset appreciation in the equity markets.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, I think no one really knows the answer of what this phenomena will lead to.
And then the situation in Europe with the euro and some of the countries that are dealing with debt issues within that group, there's a concern. I mean, there was talk whether or not the euro would even exist not too long ago because what was happening in Greece and some of the other and Italy and other countries.
Yeah, I think that talk hit its peak in 2011 when Greece and first part of the thing there was in 2011 most of the debt held in, the people who held the Greek debt were individuals.
Okay.
70%, I think the number was, and now most of them are held by institutions, including the IMF, and so things have changed a little there. But again, to Greece is in the news today, and lots have sold off today, and things. So the likelihood of the euro breaking up, I think, has decreased tremendously. But you know, it just takes one country and, you know, someone to get some confidence. I mean, we look at what's going on with the currencies of, you know, Ukraine's breadbasket of Europe and all the crops and, you know, and everything's good. And all of a sudden...
you got civil war.
You have a civil war, and you got Putin coming in Russia, and now, you know, things aren't as good. The currency has greatly been devalued, and so, you know, you just don't know in these countries where bad decisions or even situations on that may not even under control occur. And so, you know, I don't eliminate the thought, but I think the basic core of the euro's been fine. What's gone on with the euro is that for those of you who are unfortunate to go to Europe in 2012 or something like that, I think there was in the summer of 12, maybe it was 11, the euro was like a 154 per dollar. Now it's 107 to a dollar. So for those of you out there that haven't gone to Europe and would like to go, this would be an unbelievable good year for you to go because, and maybe it gets better. I mean, but the point is, in currency translation, it's more favorable now to convert your dollars into euros than it was 2 or 3 years ago. And consequently, and the reason then the European market is up is that the market is betting with the euro having gone down in value, their products for exporting become much more attractive because you buy more for less money. And so all the exporters and the major companies of Europe are doing quite well, and it's the same philosophy in Japan, which has always been one of the great exporters, especially in the electronic world and things like that, cars and, and things like that. So,
but our manufacturers are as tough for and reverse on our manufacturers.
Absolutely, absolutely. The well, in general, it's tough, but the how intensely and quickly the dollar is appreciated has really left a lot of international companies domiciled in the United States unprepared, because a lot of times you can hedge currencies and kind of dampen the effect. You know, it happens so quickly. And so you're seeing it in a lot of big companies. On the Dow, for example, the Dow is not necessarily as good as the, say, the Russell, the top 3,000, 4,000 stocks have done better than the 30 Dow stocks, because all the Dow stocks are highly dependent on exporting to those foreign countries.
You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry this morning. We'll be back with more right after this.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is Carl Hilke, the new host of Over the Back Fence, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. here on AM 1320. What is Over the Back Fence? Well, it's a friendly neighborhood get-together where we buy and sell things, help each other out, and even share a few laughs. That's Over the Back Fence, brought to you by Affordable Maytag, right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
Look for mainly sunny skies across the area for this afternoon, with high temperatures reaching the middle 70s. Then for tonight, mostly clear skies will drop to a low of 44 degrees. Still a good deal of sunshine for the day on Saturday, reaching the middle part of the 60s. Then looking ahead to your Sunday, cloudy with rain likely, highs reaching the lower 80s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Under mostly sunny to sunny skies across the area, we have 68 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bryan. You can reach your local investment professionals at 715-422-0700. Okay, Pete, well, we've kind of given an overview, a picture of what's happening in the world. The big question is, what does this all mean for investors and their money?
Well, there's a variety of different potential outcomes here. You know, I think what we've seen this year in the international markets is, again, a support of having a properly diversified portfolio. Because the U.S. market the last 2 years have been dynamic. They've dramatically outperformed the international markets, just to the point where, you know, the whole thing, when the masses are going north, you should be going south type of thing, that in conversations, not only with clients, but other people in the field, I mean, everyone was, well, America is the only place to be. America is the only place to be. And, you know, it's always easy to sell things that haven't performed. But, you know, the other thing that happens is most of these markets have the day when they're not very attractive and haven't made you any money. And then they have their day like the first 4 months of this year. And so, you know, I think having a for those people who got out of the international markets and are in the U.S. markets, they're not doing as well as if they had stayed right where they were. And so with what we've seen in Europe and China and Japan at Hong Kong, the question becomes, if you're not in them, have you missed it? Or have you, you know, is there, get on, and you know, again, there's more to come. And my sense is, you know, when you look at how long we did QE and the effect it had through this, the whole thing, and even now that we aren't, the markets quite aren't, have kind of inched up rather than called. I think in the international markets that if you haven't had any exposure whatsoever to get into a diversified ETF, either that includes Asia and Europe, or a mutual fund that includes those, still you should have some weighting in that particular markets, because what's going on is such, I think it has some duration. I think the currencies will be depressed for a while. If their interest rates in both those areas, some of them are negative. You know, in Germany you have negative rates. Japan you have negative rates. It all bodes well for exporting. It bodes well for earnings. And so in if you aren't in there, you should have some exposure, all right? So some being, you know, 5-10%, I would guess, minimum. I wouldn't, again, going back to diversification, I don't think it's time to dump all your American stocks and go 100% in there.
Right.
So, but I do think in the international that there will be the next 2 or 3 years that they probably outperform given what's going on right now.
Okay, we haven't touched much on this, but you mentioned it a little bit, China. And there's talk that they're, you know, their economy has slowed down a little bit, which was to be expected. What's this? What's the picture in China? What are you telling your? What's your feelings about China's economy? Because it plays a big role in the overall international picture.
Yeah, and I think if you step back, and there's so much fear mongering that always goes on the
they sell these newsletters that you can purchase that will tell you how to get rich.
Right. Right. But the reality is, obviously, much like our economies or any world economies, you know, things are good and they go bad and stuff. But if you look at some of the things in China, the big things I look at, and why, you know, I've had people in China for 4 or 5 years now, all right, and we've made very little money in the previous 3 or 4 years. And quarter through Monday, the fund we got, we're up 23%. And the thing being is that China is right now the number two economy in the world. All right. Mm-hmm. They don't have the huge deficits in the government that we have or things like that. They've got billions of people. So they're not going into the abyss. All right.
Right.
They're probably eventually going to be the number one economy in the world. And so, yeah, they've got some deserted cities, and yeah, they're not growing at 10% a year, but when you look at that number as a percentage, obviously they were doing double-digit growth for a long time. Now they're doing 7%, all right?
That's still 7% growth.
But the reality is if you take the 7% out of a bigger base, the actual dollars is probably greater than when they were doing 10% or 12% 10 years ago.
Okay.
So it becomes somewhat the law of large numbers. If you did $100 million in sales to do 10% growth, is 10 million. Well, that doesn't seem like an insurmountable if you got a good product and good marketing in that. If you do $1 billion in sales, to do 10% means you got to do 100 million in sales. So as you get bigger, it gets harder to sustain that percentage growth rate just because of math.
Okay.
And so China, I will continue to, for most of my portfolios, have a weighting in China because it's the second biggest economy, and they're not going. They're going to become the top economy.
Energy prices. It has a big impact. Obviously, we here in the States, we've been saving money on our gasoline purchases, but in the overall world economy could have a major impact. We were talking about Russia before. Well, they've been, because of their adventures into their military invasion or whatever you want to call it, and the money they've lost on that, and then their money lost on the energy scene because of the crash in energy prices. There's talk the Russian economy could collapse. I mean,
yeah, and then again, I think there's never like any common sense. It's always more fun to go to the extreme.
Yeah,
a lot of times it's because if you go to the extreme and by chance you're right, you get into a lot of money because the guy writes a book and he writes a newsletter and stuff. But going into this. Because in 1998, there was a similar case with Russia. Russia had extremely large reserves, surpluses.
Right.
All right. And so it wasn't totally like Greece where they don't know where their next meal's coming from. So, but they are, the interesting thing will be there is that, because of the devaluation of the ruble.
Right.
It's more costly to buy, exports. And so it's all about the masses. And so when you have your lifestyle lowered and your options reduced, it'll be interesting to see what the political impact it is. And obviously, getting a new political leader obviously could change a lot
of
things.
Sure.
The oil is a situation where their revenues are going to go down. Obviously, they're not necessarily losing money, mm-hmm. but losing revenue, so they have less money to cover their budget. So it depends how fast and how fast the revenue comes down or how hard it comes down, combined with how long these oil prices stay in this particular range, whether their economy really goes into the abyss.
What's your feeling on energy prices? Is it going to stay like this, or could it go down even farther? What have you been hearing?
Everybody's an expert in that, but, I'm not sure anyone knows for sure. But here's what I would go back to. Again, it's a market.
Right.
There's rises and there falls. So why did it fall? In this particular case, it fell because of oversupply.
Right.
All right. A lot of times in the past, when it's risen, it has become because of geopolitical issues. You know, the Mideast, which was the, you know, leading place for oil to be exported for. There was this war, this
right.
potential war, or things like that. Without having us being the United States, having greatly increased our position such that, you know, again, the projections are we have the capability of be self-sustaining by 2020. My point being is, in the short term, a lot of wells have been stopped from being drilled or temporarily taken off the market. And so that, at some point, will come into play because the correlation is, with oil prices down, people have extra money in their pocket.
Right.
And so, you know, that trip that maybe went to Chicago, that may be, you figure out, wow, it's expensive. And by the way, it'll take you two tanks of gas, and that's another $180.
Right.
Just throwing out a number. Well, now, you know, it might be more like $100
mm-hmm.
or whatever. My point is, I think this summer you'll see more people as they now are paying off some of their bills and they're going to have extra money. I think you'll see more travel and extra supply, which will decrease simply because there's less wells being drilled and now probably more oil being used, that I don't see us going to significantly lower at this point. I think we've probably hit the lows. But the fact that Iran and Iraq, and if things get cleaned up in the Middle West, there'll be a lot of oil available. So I think we're probably more in a range of maybe 40. We hit 42 on the low side, and maybe you get it back up to the 70-ish area.
Right. What does that mean for energy stocks?
Well, again, under diversification, you know, everybody bailed out of energy stocks, and quite frankly, the energy sector is the best performing sector already this year. And so, you know, if you bought, if you took advantage of everybody jumping out of the boat, and in terms of buying, you know, they sold all their energy stocks. You've missed a really good move here. My sense is because it's had a really good move, and I don't see oil going to $100 a barrel, I'd be a buyer of on pullbacks of really quality names, you know, that have good balance sheets and have done some prudent things of cutting their overhead and things like that.
As we wrap this up, then, still optimistic about a good overall good year for the market?
Yeah, I think that based on the fact that there's so few choices outside the equity market, that the equity market will be supported as more money comes into the market. So, like, today, market at one point, as the Dow, we were talking about the Dow, was down 300 points. Days like this, or on Monday, it'll be days where I think money will flow back in and buy the names that they like, type of thing. So I think there's kind of an artificial support under the market. I also think everybody in the world, if we're talking about the Fed raising interest rates in Wisconsin Rapids, I think it's pretty much into the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if they gradually move rates up, I don't think it's going to be a big detour. And like I say, with the economic numbers, the labor numbers of number of people working, with a lot of companies, Walmart and McDonald's and things like that, starting to increase minimum wages, with less money being spent at the gas tank, all that, I think, bodes well for the economy.
Okay. Well, as always, it's been an interesting discussion, and I look forward to our next visit next month.
So do I. Thank you.
Okay. Pete Bry with Buena Vista Investment Management. That wraps up Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry here on The Morning Magazine, which, as always, has been brought to you by Comfort Air. CBS News is coming up next.